Greetings, friends, and welcome to part 13 in our series of programs entitled The Three P's of Our Profession. On today's program, I want to ask you this question. Do you believe in the theory that once saved, always saved? Do you believe that that's true? That once saved, always saved? That once you have accepted Jesus Christ by faith for the remission of your sins, that once you have accepted the Holy Spirit by faith through Jesus Christ, once you have accepted by faith the promise of eternal life, that once you have that salvation, that you will always have it no matter what you do, that you could never, ever lose salvation according to that definition. Do you believe that? Well, there are many people that believe that, but unfortunately, everyone who believes that is wrong. That is a false doctrine, a false teaching that is contrary to the scripture, and no matter how much people try to convince you otherwise, you need to follow what the scriptures say. And the scripture we're going to read today that totally shoots that false theory out of the water is Hebrews the 10th chapter and verses 23 through 39. This is Hebrews the 10th chapter and verses 23 through 39. This shows that even after a person has been, quote, saved, which means that they have been forgiven of sins, they have now the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, and they have the promise of eternal life. That's the definition of salvation that a lot of people use. And they say, based on that definition, once you have that, you can never lose that. No matter what you do, you will never lose your salvation. Again, I'm here to tell you, based on the authority of the Word of God, that that is a lie. People who teach that are teaching a lie. The truth of the Bible is found in Hebrews the 10th chapter and verses 23 through 39, amongst other places, that shows that even after you have repented of sins, and even after you have been given the Holy Spirit and the down payment and promise of eternal life, you can lose that based on what you do. That's right, you can lose that based on what you do. You can end up going to hell, burning in the lake of fire, suffering the second death from which there is no resurrection. You can end up going to hell based on what you do. So let's read this. This is the Word of God. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised." That's right, God is faithful. He has promised these things to you, and as long as you remain faithful to God, which is no guarantee that you will, as long as you do remain faithful to God, God will fulfill his promise. But because you are a free moral agent, and God will never force you to love him, he will never force you to obey him, that because he has created you that way, if you decide that you do not want to follow God's way of life, after you have tasted of this good and heavenly gift, if you spit it out, if you trample upon the blood of Jesus Christ, like as if it's nothing, then there remains no more sacrifice for your sins. You've basically shunned the only power by which you could be saved. And so there's no other power that could help you to change your mind and change your heart if you reject the power of God. And this is what it's saying. Okay? So yes, God is faithful, but if you are unfaithful, then you can lose salvation. So it says, because of this truth, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. It's saying hold on to it tight. That means if you have to hold on to it tight, there must be a possibility of it coming out of your grasp. And it will come out of your grasp if you open up your hands and throw it away. Okay? You have to make that willful choice. So hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. And let us consider one another. So think about one another and determine how we can provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, there's some bad times ahead. There's some dark days ahead. And we need to be strengthening one another. We need to be encouraging one another. And if there's some sin that we have, we need to be talking to one another, helping us to be overcomers, to get rid of that sin, to overcome the sin, and to live a righteous way of life through the power of God, because we love God. We love this way of life, and we want to please God, and we want to do what's right, because we've seen what is the best way, that we've seen that sin is the wrong way, and we want to turn away from that because we hate sin. And that is only possible if we have the mind of God, because we have carnal minds if we're not filled with God's Holy Spirit. We have carnal minds that are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's what it says in the book of Romans. But God says that if we do have the Holy Spirit, then we will begin to love God's law. Like David said, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is with me always." And God says that that's the heart he wants in us, because David was a man after God's own heart, and he loved God's law. And so if we have the heart of God, that means we're going to love God's law, because that's God's expression of love. It says also in the book of Romans that love is the fulfilling of the law, that the two great commandments in the law are to love God with all of our hearts and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Those are the two great commandments, to love God with all of our heart and mind and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So God is saying that we need to exhort one another so much more as we see the day approaching, because there's going to be some tough times ahead where Christians will be persecuted even to the death. But we have to hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, despite persecutions, despite the cares of this world that could come up and choke us. We have to persevere. We have to be overcomers. We have to be those who endure to the end. Now notice what he says, right? After he gets finished telling us that we need to continue to assemble ourselves together and exhort one another and so much more, pick up the pace as we see the day approaching, he gives us a stern warning by saying, "For if we sin willfully," and that's the key, "for if we sin willfully," that means we set our minds to sin, that we are saying to God, "Listen, God, I don't care what you say. I prefer to do it my way. I did it my way." You know, if you have that attitude where you are willing to transgress God's law sinfully and continuously, this is that stern warning. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth," so that means a person has been enlightened. So it's after we have received the knowledge of the truth. If you sin willfully, then what is this? God says there remains no more sacrifice for sins. If we have that attitude of sinning willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Of course, if a person sinning willfully before they come into a knowledge of the truth, that's a normal thing because they haven't been converted. But once a person has been converted, once they have repented of their sins, and once they have been given the mind of God through the Holy Spirit, once God is living in us through the Holy Spirit, if we then turn around and reject God, and we start to sin willfully again, continuously, with a hardened heart, then God says there remains no more sacrifice for sins. But what does remain? A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. That's the hellfire. That is being burnt up in the lake of fire. That's what remains if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. There remains a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries of God. And we can become adversaries of God even after we have received salvation if we throw away that salvation. Now notice, continuing on, it gets stronger. God says, "He who despised Moses' law died without mercy on the word of two or three witnesses." Of how much worse punishment do you suppose he will be thought worthy if he has trampled the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. If a person has that attitude, that they are trampling upon the Son of God, if they're counting the blood of the covenant with this kind of just unholy attitude, saying that it's worth nothing, and if you insult the Spirit of grace, then how much worse punishment will a person receive? Now, how much worse can it be if a person under Moses' law died? Well, God is saying that a worse punishment is that we will die the second death. This is the eternal death, the death from which there is no resurrection. And he goes on to say, "For we know him who has said, 'Vengeance belongs to me, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, 'The Lord shall judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to memory the former days in which, after you were illuminated," so again, this is after you have been enlightened, after the light of Christ has lit up your mind. So recall those former days so that you can get back to them. You need to repent all over again. Recall those former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, indeed being exposed by both reproaches and afflictions. And you did those things joyfully." Now continuing on, "Therefore do not cast away," see, that's the whole point, we can cast away, but he's warning us, pleading with us, because he loves us, saying, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." My friends, I'm telling you, based on the word of God, that we have to endure to the end. It's not a quick race necessarily. It might be for the long haul, but we have to endure to the end. It's not just that you repent on the day that you're baptized, and that's it. You've sealed the deal. That's it forevermore, no matter what you do. No, that's a false doctrine. God is saying, don't cast away your confidence, which has a great reward, but you need patience so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And what is this promise? It's the promise of eternal life for yet a little while. And he who shall come will come and will not delay. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if he draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who withdraw to destruction, but of those who believe to the persevering and preserving of the soul. God is saying, don't be like some who draw back and then they end up going into destruction, the destruction of hellfire. But instead, we should be like those who believe to the preserving of the soul, enduring to the end. And that's what we must do, is endure to the end. So this idea of once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. Once you have repented, once you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit and the promise of eternal life, you still have to fight the good fight of faith, and you have to overcome until the end. And when you overcome until the end, which means the end of your first life, when you die the first death, if you have endured to the end, been faithful to the end, then God will be faithful to his promise to resurrect you to eternal life. And that is a great reward that he is talking about, being resurrected to eternal life, to live with God forever.